That, Miss Rose, and that has a wonderful truth to it, that whenever we need help, we can find it in the arms of our God, and that is a blessing this morning. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to two portions of Scripture. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter number 6, Hebrews chapter number 6, and then find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hebrews chapter number 6. And then find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Of course, this year we are thinking about, as Christians, being rooted in Christ, being built up in Christ. And as we continue through with that thought this morning, I want to, as we get ready to look at these scriptures, I want to pose a question to each of us here this morning, and that is simply this: what does it mean to labor for the Lord? What does it mean to labor for the Lord? We, of course, live in a world that values convenience. We live in a world that values ease. We live in a world that values quick rewards. Everybody wants something quickly and seemingly for nothing. But when we start and stop to look at the Christian life as we read our Bibles, we realize very quickly calls us to something that is much different than what this world offers to us. We start to realize very quickly that the Christian life calls us to something not only different than what the world offers us, but to something greater than the world offers to us. Someone once said this. They said, every church is filled with willing people. Man, that's a great thought, isn't it? But the quote doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, some willing to work and others willing to let them. And that's not just true of the church this morning, but maybe you've worked in an office setting or something along the lines such as that. And maybe you had people throughout your career, you know, maybe you were always the one to work and put in the extra hours, the hard hours, the long hours, and seemingly you had a coworker that to this day you still don't know how they had a job. And the question we have to ask ourselves as we think about being rooted and built up in Christ is, well, which kind of person are we? You see, because as Christians this morning, we have the privilege of serving the Lord. We have the privilege of laboring for the Lord right here in our local church. We don't have to go halfway around the world to serve God. We don't have to be a missionary necessarily somewhere on a foreign field to serve the Lord. No, we can serve the Lord right here, right where we are. And when we serve others, the Lord sees and promises to not only see it, but He also promises to reward us for it. This morning, Miss Sue came in, and we were talking a little bit, and she was mentioning how her and Joe, I guess, are getting ready for the garden. And Joe had sent her a picture. I guess he was at Walmart, and apparently Walmart has already started to get the seeds in for the spring and for farmers who want to plant and different things along those lines, gardeners who want to plant. But I want you to imagine a gardener or a farmer, they plant a seed. Now that gardener, that farmer, they don't expect an immediate harvest. I mean, how great would that be? You know, you go, you get the seed, you put it in, you water it, you go to sleep overnight, you wake up, and all of a sudden you have this big, bountiful harvest. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But it doesn't work like that. No, he knows that the work is going to be long. He knows that it's going to be tiresome, but he also knows that the reward will come only after time and care and persistence. Likewise, and similarly, as followers of Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you and I are called to labor in various ways for the kingdom of God. But we don't always see the results right away. We don't always see the harvest right away. We don't always see the bounty right away. But in laboring, we know that we don't labor in vain. You're there, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And notice there, if you would, verse number 10. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." And then look, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, the Bible again says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." For a few moments this morning from these two verses, or these three verses, I want to preach us on this thought: rooted in labor. Rooted in labor. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity that we get to come and gather in your house. And now, Lord, we just pray that you would again quiet hearts and help us to focus on you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message be a help, a challenge, and encouragement to these your people. And Father, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. For all that you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, I want us to explore and look at three key areas where God calls us to labor. And at the same time, I want us to see the promises that God gives that labor is not forgotten, that work is not overlooked. You know, sometimes, again, and it's just not in the church, but even in a workplace environment, sometimes you might be the one that goes the extra mile. You might be the one that puts in the extra hours or the long hours or whatever the case may be. You might be the one someone comes to and they know they can rely on and ask you to help with a project or whatever the case may be. And yet you seemingly constantly get overlooked for that word of encouragement or that promotion or whatever the case may be. And, you know, even in the church, you might do something and, you know, maybe you do it without anybody knowing it. And, you know, they just come in and they say, "Hey, that got done. I wonder who did that." And they never know. And so you never get the praise for it or the thank you for it or whatever the case may be. By the way, we don't do it for the praise or the encouragement or the thank you, although it is nice to get such things from time to time. But, you know, the encouragement is this morning. While that may happen in the church sometimes, while that may happen in the workplace sometimes, it never happens with God. It never happens with the Lord. And whatever you do to serve the Lord, whatever work you do for God, the Bible promises us that it does not get overlooked. It does not get forgotten. He does not say, oh, well, yeah, you did so-and-so, but so-and-so did this. No. If you serve the Lord, if you do something for God, the Bible has a promise for us that our labor is never forgotten. But we're also going to see how he equips us for this holy work. And so the very first thing we see this morning is that we need to labor in our ministries. We need to labor in our ministries. Again, Hebrews 6:10, the Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." You know, when you think of ministry this morning, you know, what comes to mind? Perhaps when you think of ministry, you think of things like preaching. You think of things maybe like singing in the choir. You think of things like leading a Bible study. But I want you to know something this morning. Ministry is so much more than just that. You know, the running joke growing up, and even today the joke sometimes still is, oh, you know, the pastor, he only works 2 days a week, Sundays and Wednesdays, right? And growing up, I used to think that. You know, we come in on a Sunday or a Wednesday, the church would be, you know, put together, things would be ready to go, and we would, you know, I don't know what we thought when we were young kids. It just happened by osmosis. But there were, you know, people and pastors and deacons and people behind the scenes seeing to it that, you know, the church got ready for service from week to week and from event to event and from everything else. There were things that had to be cleaned and bathrooms that had to be cleaned, fellowship halls that had to be cleaned up, trash that had to be taken out, and visits to make, and people to catch up with, and all of those other little things. And, you know, ministry is much more than just preaching. Ministry is much more than just singing in the choir or leading a Bible study. Ministry goes beyond those visible acts of service. Ministry is simply any work that is done for God in love and obedience to God for the sake of others. Every act of service is a ministry if done for the glory of God. You know, you think about it, right? During the summer, you know, we have a couple of the different guys. They come out and they mow the church property. Now, oftentimes that goes, you know, unless you're here, you don't know who's mowing. You don't know when they're mowing. You don't know, you know, what's happening. But, you know, let the grass go a couple weeks, you know, a month. And all of a sudden, you'll start saying, okay, who's supposed to be out here mowing? And you say, well, that's not a ministry. Yes, it is. If they're doing it to be good stewards for the property God gave us, and they're doing it, you know, out of love and obedience for the glory of God, yes, we reap the benefits of a nice, freshly mowed property, but they're doing it because, yes, it needs to be done, but that it's a being a good steward of property God has given us, and that is a ministry. People who come in and they clean. Now, listen, you might not know who cleans. You might not know who, you know, does the toilets and the trash and all the rest, but hey, let those go a couple weeks. You'll be quick to say, hey, can somebody come and clean this? Hey, that's ministry. Because it's done done for the glory of God, for the sake of others. You think this morning of a mother, they spend their days caring for their children. Now, that might seem like ordinary work, doesn't it? cooking and cleaning and guiding. But in God's eyes, that's a sacred ministry. Likewise, a teacher, a nurse, or a janitor who does their work with integrity and in love, they're ministering for God's kingdom. And that labor is not in vain, because it's done as unto the Lord. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." That word vain means empty. Your work for God is not empty. Your work for God is not without reward. And so this morning, whether you teach a Sunday school class, whether you clean the church, whether you usher, whether you mow the grass, whether you clean up the fellowship hall, take the trash out, visit a shut-in, shovel the snow, greet somebody, encourage somebody, whatever it is you do, do it with all of your heart. Do it with 100% of your energy, because the work of the Lord, it's an internal, enduring, rewarding work. So why shouldn't we give that our 100% effort? So not only do we need to labor in our ministries, but then secondly this morning, we need to labor in our witness. We need to labor in our witness. Matthew 28:19. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." The second way we labor is in our witness. That verse is what is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. I think Brother Kenny taught on that last Sunday morning, was the Great Commission. And as so, God calls each of us. We're ambassadors for Christ. Corinthians, the Bible, talks about how we are ambassadors for Christ. And listen, this isn't just for the pastor or the deacon or the missionary. It's a command for every believer, for everybody here, to be a witness for Christ. To labor in your witness means that you live and speak the gospel in every sphere of influence that God has placed you in. Every chance you get, you look for an opportunity to share God and the gospel with somebody. I love lighthouses. You go in my office, I have a few lighthouses there. I have a lighthouse painting at the house. I love lighthouses. The church I grew up in, I was saved in, it was Lighthouse Baptist Church. I love lighthouses. But think of a lighthouse this morning. A lighthouse doesn't choose where it stands, does it? No. A lighthouse is built and put and stands where it's most needed. And even when the sea is rough, and even when the storm is raging, the light of that lighthouse still shines. And the light of that lighthouse still shines to guide the ships to safety. In the same way this morning, our witness. Listen, it's not about convenience. Listen, you and I, we're going to have seas that are rough in our life. You and I, we're going to have storms in our life that are raging. But our witness is about shining the light of Christ wherever it is that God places us. Acts 1:8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." A wise person once said this. They said, "Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. You see, this morning, by reaching others with the gospel and by discipling those new believers, then we accomplish the very purpose of the church. You see, we covered a little bit in Sunday school. Our devotional this past week, it actually covered a little bit in one of the devotionals. I think it was the last day of January or the first day of February. And talking about the purpose of the church. And listen, the purpose of the church is not about friendships and fellowships and events and everything else. While all those things are good and all those things are a result of what we have in a church, the ultimate purpose of the church is to be a lighthouse to a lost and dying world. We need to make sure we keep gospel tracts handy to give to those that we meet throughout the day. In my car, we keep there in the driver's seat. I have a small Bible that I got from Walmart for like 10 bucks. It's the whole Bible, a large print, hand-sized Bible. And in that Bible, I keep a handful of gospel tracts. In the glove compartment, I keep a handful of gospel tracts. And I keep gospel tracts for different occasions. The gospel tract that I wrote, I keep that. Our church tracts, I keep those. I have some that are specifically designed for police officers that say, thank you for your service. And it talks about, has your case been Noel pressed? And it talks about how when you go to court, how the judge can find a defendant, he can Noel press the case. In essence, that finds the defendant not guilty or the one who is charged not guilty. And then it goes in the gospel by asking the police officer, has your case been Noel pressed by the great judge of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? I have tracts in there for when we go out to eat that we can give to a waiter that says, thank you for your service. When I'm over at the hospital, visiting someone at the hospital, I have different tracts for that. I have a tract for every occasion because you never know when you're going to run into somebody that they're dealing with a particular issue that you can pull out just the right thing. I have a track there in my office. It talks about peace in terminal illness. And so I go over, if I go to visit somebody, maybe they haven't been given long to live, I can give that track that says, hey, read this. It's going to encourage you while also giving them hope of Jesus and hope of heaven. We need to make sure we're ready with whoever we meet throughout the day, and always be ready to share the gospel with those you meet. Last November, or no, two Novembers ago now, 2023, I was in the hospital there, up there on the sixth floor, and listen, and this is just a simple Bible principle. It takes nothing to be kind. It takes absolutely nothing to be kind. And just here recently, now every now and again, I have to go back and make a visit. And sometimes I wind up on the sixth floor over there to make a visit. And all those nurses over there, I might not remember them. I remember their face. Sadly, I'm getting to a point now where I'm struggling remembering names, but I remember her face. And they'll say, oh, I remember you. We had you here on the sixth floor. You were always kind to us. You're always nice to us. It takes nothing to be kind. And in doing so, that's another way you can share the gospel. Another way you can share the love of God. Another way you can share Jesus with somebody. But when we labor in our witness, we testify to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen this morning. Your words, your actions, your attitudes, they all testify to the world around you. And listen, I understand what it means to have a bad day. I do. Sometimes I go somewhere and something goes wrong. And listen, Mandy says it's my Italian temper. I don't know if Italians have tempers. We probably do. But nope. But sometimes I let my temper get the best of me. And, I start, fretting and complaining. And she says, it's okay, calm down. And, it's like, yeah, but if so-and-so would have did this, it would have been done right, and it would have been done the first time, and I wouldn't have had to do that, and before I know it, I'm just going off. And she's there, you know, thank God for your wife. You know, where would we be without him? And they just come, they calm you down, and you know, they bring you back to, you know, level, and you know, and then, you know, sometimes she'll go and, you know, she'll do whatever, you know, I was complaining about, and it took like 2 minutes. So in the 20 minutes I spent complaining, I could have taken the 2 minutes and fixed the situation. You know, but listen, our words, our actions, our attitudes, they testify to those around us. And what testimony are they seeing? Again, it takes nothing to be kind. And so let our life be a shining beacon of hope and in truth. And then thirdly and finally this morning, labor in your giving. Labor in your giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The Bible says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." As Christians, we have to manage everything that has been entrusted to us by God. And this here is one of the things that goes right to the heart of our relationship with God. And oftentimes, many Christians are found out, so to speak, here because their lives are motivated by self rather than the Spirit of God. And, you know, you see that point there, labor in your giving. Automatically you think, oh, here we go, the pastor's going to talk about money. And yes, we're eventually going to get there. But the Christian's giving, and more accurately, more biblically called stewardship, is about so much more than just giving of our money. And biblical stewardship can reveal our heart. And the unfortunate thing this morning is that selfish people cannot be good stewards. Forget about giving of the money. If you're selfish, you're not going to give of these first couple. So here are the principles of stewardship. Just very quickly, we covered this a couple years ago, but it bears repeating. Number one, everything belongs to God. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. Number two, stewardship is the management of another's affairs. Stewardship is the management of another's affairs. So, let's say I give you my most prized Batman collectible. And I say, now listen, I'm going out of town, and I don't want to risk somebody breaking in. They know I have it, and it's worth a lot of money, and I want you to take care of this rare Batman collectible. That does not automatically make it now your collectible. It is still mine. It still belongs to me. It's in your possession, but you have now been given stewardship over that collectible. Or if we say we're going out of town, we need somebody to come and let Mojo out, go to the bathroom, feed him, water him, and you say, yeah, I'll come over, I'll let Mojo out, I'll feed him, I'll water him, and, you know, what is he, like a house plant? But yeah, I'll feed him, I'll water him, and I'll take care of him. Well, listen, that doesn't automatically make it your house. And that doesn't mean you can all of a sudden start having a party and having people over. No. If you want to do it at your house, certainly don't do it at our house. You know, you come in, you let Mojo out, you water him, you feed him, and, you know, that's it. Now we might say, you know, you're there, you know, and when we have guests over, we tell them, you know, you're like family. Here's the fridge. Help yourself to whatever's in the fridge. Help yourself to whatever's in the cupboards. Help yourself to whatever's on the bar there. And, you know, Ours, yours. Help yourself. And so you come over here, feed a mojo, and we might say, yeah, go in the fridge. If you know, want a drink, get a drink. You see a snack you want, have a snack. By all means, you know, we might say that. But, you know, don't throw a party because it's not your house. You know, you've been giving stewardship over that house. And so that's what stewardship is. It's the management of another's affairs. And every Christian is a steward. Every one of us. We have been given something entrusted to us by God that is not ours for the management of His to be a steward. And faithfulness is required in stewardship. You say, then, what are some areas of stewardship? Well, number one, again, we're not just talking about our money, our treasure. But if you give of these first couple, you'll have no problem giving of your treasure. You'll have no problem giving of your money. But number one, time. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we're to redeem the time, Ephesians 5:16. It emphasizes an efficient use of our time for God's purposes, including church attendance and activities. By the way, I once sat down. Listen, I believe we can apply the 10% principle to every area of life. And Mandy just messaged me. She wanted me to emphasize when I said bar, that's our snack bar, not an alcohol bar. So there's no alcohol on that bar. It's a snack bar. And so just in case you had to, you know, I wanted to be aware of that. But I did the time. That's one of the bad things about preaching from a tablet. You get all your messages as you're preaching. But I sat down one time and I did the math. And if we attended everything the church offers in a given week, that would only account for less than 5% of our time given to God in a given week. I hope we're giving Him more than that when we're out of here, in our Bible reading, in our prayer, in our spending time with Him. But then not only do we need to give of our time, we need to give of our talents. Of course, we think of the parable of the talent. Of course, a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly truth. It teaches us that each person has unique abilities to serve God and others. Listen, you might have a talent that I don't have that can advance the church, that can advance the kingdom of God. And guess what? We need that talent. We need that person, that ability for the kingdom and honor and glory of God. But not only do we need to give of our time and our talents, but we need to give of our testimony. Christians, we are to let our light shine to a lost and dying world. And then, after we've given our time, after we've given our talent, after we've given our testimony, then we need to give of our treasure. You see, our money, it's not ours. It belongs to God. It belongs to the Lord. And Christians are to be stewards of those financial resources. And so we break it up into our tithes and offering. Tithing, our 10% of our income, a biblical principle that predates the law in Genesis 14 and Hebrews chapter 7, affirmed by Jesus in Matthew 23, and then continues in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And then our offerings, those are in addition to our tithes, reflecting a willing and cheerful heart. And then obedience in tithing, an act of faith and love for God, while giving offerings is a way to be blessed. And so, and listen, we're still in February. It's all these things that we think about it being stewardship. Listen, maybe you struggle with giving of your time. Hey, we're still in the beginning of a new year, basically. You still have that opportunity that, you know, I'm going to give some of my time back to the Lord this year. You know, maybe you have some talents that you can use for the Lord. And maybe you've struggled with that in the past. You can say, you know what? Hey, I have some talents I can give to the Lord this year, and I'm going to give to the Lord and serve Him a little bit more this year. Your testimony. Maybe you struggle with your witness. Maybe you take one track every so often. Maybe you could say, you know what, this week I'm going to take two. And you decide to hand those out. And then our treasure, our giving. Maybe you struggle with your giving. Maybe you struggle with giving of your tithe or your offering or whatever the case may be. Hey, the good news is, guess what? We have a whole year to become faithful to that once again and support the work of the church. We are called this morning to labor in our giving. And if we do so, again, just like with the other things we've looked at this morning, we have a promise of God that it does not get overlooked. It does not get forgotten. I can't begin to tell you how many times Amanda and I, we've helped somebody or done something or given something and we didn't really have it to give. And the Lord always blessed as a result. Now listen. There's a principle, and we try to be wise in certain things. But you know, in fact, Mandy and I was telling folks in Sunday school this morning. Mandy, she gets her retirement from her work, but you know, when I retire from pastor, I don't get a retirement. And so the beginning of the year in January, we just opened up for me an IRA account and a retirement account and a savings account, and the bank offers a and this is more of just like a a rainy day thing, not a full blown savings, but they offer a thing, something called Change Saver, where on every purchase, with your debit card, you swipe it and they round up to the next dollar and they take that and put that into a savings account or whatever the case may be. And so we're doing that. But I say that to say this, and so there's a principle of wisdom when it comes to financial things. But then there's also a idea, the Lord's going to take care of you. The Lord's going to take care of us as an individual, and the Lord's going to take care of us as a church. Listen, if we follow, and I've said it till I'm blue in the face, because if we are faithful in the tithing aspect, the 10%, it doesn't matter how big the church is, how small the church is, it doesn't matter. God gave the principle because he knows that it works. And if it works, then guess what? He's going to take care of us. So guess what? Every bill will be paid. Every missionary will be taken care of. Every, we won't ask for food or whatever the case may be, because God will take care of us if we are faithful. That's what we have to be. If we're faithful, guess what? We just leave the results to him. Joe comes to me every now and again, and this man frets like you would not believe. And you know what I tell him? I said, Joe, God's going to take care of us. And guess what? He's gotten that over time. Every now and again, sometimes I'll be fretting about something, and then he'll come and hit me with it. God will take care of us. I say, wait a minute. That's my advice to you. Be quiet. And, don't turn my advice around and give it to me when I'm, fretting and complaining. That's for me to give to you. But the point is this: God takes care of us if we are faithful. And we need to be laborers in our giving. Again, not just of our money, but of our time and our talents and our testimony. And listen, if he has those three things, guess what? He'll have our wallets. He'll have the other. Again, it involves more than just money. It involves, again, the giving of your time, your talents, your testimony, your treasure. And when we give sacrificially, we participate in the work of God's kingdom, sowing seeds of righteousness that will reap a harvest of souls. Again, I go back to that gardener. He plants the seed in the field. The gardener knows that the seeds, they need water. They need sunlight, and they need care to grow. Now, if he plants only a few seeds, the harvest is going to be what? It's going to be small. But if he plants generously, then his harvest will be bountiful. And so it is with our giving. When we give of ourselves generously, God multiplies our efforts for his glory. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You see, this morning, giving to the Lord in tithes and offerings and of our time and our testimony and our talents not only provides for the work of the Lord, but sacrificial giving also increases our faith. You see, when we trust God with every aspect of our being, from everything, including our finances, then we see Him bless us and meet all of our needs. And whatever you give to the Lord's work, you find that it is an eternal investment. So labor in your giving, and then watch the windows of heaven pour out blessings on your life. Because when we labor in our giving, we don't just give for today, but we invest in eternity. And God promises that He will return to us what we have given, overflowing with blessings. And so this morning, by laboring in your church, you can not only encourage your pastor, encourage one another, but you can strengthen your church. You can experience the joy of the Lord in your own life. You can give wholeheartedly yourself to serving the Lord. And folks, this morning, the labor of love that we undertake in our ministries, our witness, and our giving, it's never in vain. It's never empty. God sees it. He knows it. And He will reward it. Your work in the work of the Lord matters. Your ministry, whatever it is you do for God, no matter how small it may seem to you, no matter how small it may seem to others, if you do it with the right heart and mind for the Lord, your ministry matters. Your witness matters. There are souls, men, women, boys, and girls, they are relying and depending on you to be a witness for God. And your giving matters. The future of your church depends on it. The future, the souls of men, women, boys, and girls depend upon it. And so this morning I challenge you today. Are you laboring in the kingdom of God? And not just half-heartedly, but are you laboring with all your heart? What area this morning of your life needs more dedication to His service? Perhaps it's stepping up in your ministry. Maybe this morning you need to be one who shares your faith more boldly. Maybe this morning you need to be more generous with your time and your resources. Whatever it is this morning, God is calling you to a labor of love. The question is simply, will you answer? Because the harvest is waiting. The Bible tells us, "Let us labor with joy, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." This morning, let's find ourselves all rooted in labor. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.